Hi, this is Devin Nunes coming to you live from the San Joaquin Valley of California from downtown Visalia at site of Avidian Properties. Avidian Properties has been around the valley for a long time farming family. Mark Avidian has dozens and dozens of realtors in the San Joaquin Valley and serves all over, so we're very thankful for them allowing us to use their downtown Visalia office this morning. It is my honor and privilege this morning to have Larry Lindsay, one of the world's top economists, a free market economist. He served in the Reagan administration, the first Bush administration, and the second Bush administration. Well, how I know Larry the best is that he has been absolutely critical for the tax cut bill that passed the House of Representatives last year. He has been a top advisor to the United States Congress for many, many years. And Larry, welcome this morning. It's so glad to have you here. Well, you're coming from Washington, D.C., but we're coming to you from downtown Visalia. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. And let me tell you, it's better to come from where you are than from where I am.
You're in the swamp there, Larry.
I am in the swamp. Yes, sadly.
Well, look, we always try to give a little bit of San Joaquin Valley flavor to our podcast. So that's why we always do it on location from somewhere in the San Joaquin Valley, or at least we try to. But Larry, we're talking about big issues here with you, the economy, the state of the U.S. economy, the world economy, and there's nobody better than you. But we had numbers that came out yesterday, the lowest unemployment rate since 1969, and it looks like we're going to have pretty good economic growth for this quarter.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really quite remarkable. This is people filing for unemployment comp, and it was just down. It was literally the lowest since 1969, as you noticed. And remember, we have about almost twice as many workers today as we had in 1969. So the economy is booming, the labor market is booming, and the way I look at it, that's going to continue to be that way for the next few years at least.
So, Larry, what do you think the growth is going to be for this quarter? I saw there were some estimates that it could be over 4% from some of the Feds have been predicting. Where do you think it falls out?
Yeah, so right now the Atlanta Fed, which sort of keeps track of things as they come in, is projecting 4.4%. You know, I have to say there's a joke out there that economists use decimal points to prove they have a sense of humor. So I don't know if it's going to be 4.4 or a little bit higher than that or a little bit lower than that, but that is a great number. And for the year as a whole, I think we're going to end up with the fastest growth that we've had this century so far.
Really?
Yep.
The century.
Yep.
That's saying something.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, earlier a lot of people had said that before the tax cut bill was passed that we were going to have to live with this stagnant economy. And that we would, the prediction was that we would have, 1.5 to 2% growth? Wasn't that the estimate?
That was the estimate, and a lot of President Obama's leading economists said that. They didn't think so at first. They claimed that their program was going to produce 4% growth. Well, it didn't. We had by far the worst recovery in American history, and it actually took the reforms that have come in the last few years. The deregulatory reforms that we had in 2017, and the tax bill, which is really giving a huge boost to the economy right now. It's and will for years to come.
And so walk us through the sectors of the economy that are doing well and why you think they're doing well.
Well, the big boom, and this is where the big change has happened, is in investment. We had a world where we were literally the worst place in the world to build a factory, start a new business, employ people. And that was because we had a combination of high taxes on profits, very poor allowances for the cost of doing business, such as buying a new plant or new equipment. And now we're the most competitive place in the world. And so all of a sudden, all that investment that look at companies was better to do overseas is now being done here. And that's why investment is booming. Investment has grown almost 11% so far this year. And I think this is just the beginning.
So for the beginning economist out there, what is causing the investment? What was the change in the tax structure that allowed for the increase in investment?
Sure. Well, there were two things. The first was, you know, if you go out and buy a new factory or a new machine, the money is out of your pocket right away. But the IRS didn't see it that way. They gave you an allowance for the money spent over a long period of years. So you're out of the money, but your taxes don't reflect the fact that you're out of the money. And one of the big, big steps in the new tax bill is it brought IRS rules with regard to when you buy new plant and equipment in line with reality. When you spend the money, you now are allowed to reflect that in your taxes. And that helps quite a bit.
I always describe it as was where you take, in the past, the government was basically deciding how long something's life is. So you would take certain pieces of equipment that may depreciate out over 5, 7 years, 15 years, and really none of that is based in reality. And what this bill allows American people to do now is they incur that expense in the very first year.
Absolutely. Or the way I think of it is you incur the expense for tax reasons when you actually incur the expense in your corporate checkbook, right? You spend the money and now get allowed to deduct for it. And, you know, David, yes, it used to be that the thought was that bureaucrats here in Washington knew how long an investment lasted and not the person who made the investment. Of course, we all know better here in the swamp than you guys do. That was the logic. And your bill, that I know you were very instrumental in passing, was key to changing that.
Right. We essentially wiped away all those depreciation schedules.
And shortened quite a bit by doing so, as well as the record keeping that's needed. So it was a very big step. And then once you make the investment, it used to be we had one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. The government took more than a third of the profits you made on that investment, and that rate was brought down from 35% to 21%. So you now actually have more of an incentive to make the investment because you get to keep more of the money you make by doing so.
Right, and so now what's really happened is, too, is you've seen just an economy that was sluggish at best a couple of years ago. We've set new highs in the stock price in the stock market, and now we have this record low unemployment, and we're actually at nearly at full employment. And can you talk about that? You know, the people that are left out there without jobs, right? I mean, we the people that have jobs are their jobs readily available. We have growing wages. What's left out there? I mean, how low can the unemployment rate realistically get?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, you know, I know your goal and my goal is to make sure that anyone who wants a job can have a job. And not only that, we hope that the wages that jobs pay goes up. And I think they will. They'll continue to rise. By the way, we've had the fastest rate of wage growth now that we've had in 10 years. So that process is beginning. You know, how tight can a labor market be? Well, probably... there's always going to be some unemployment simply because when you quit your current job or if you're laid off, it may take you some time to find the next job. After all, you know, you may want to shop around for the best offer. And as a result, you probably are going to be temporarily unemployed. We economists have a fancy name for this. We call it frictional unemployment. It's kind of the unemployment that's going to happen simply because these people move from one job to another. That number is probably about 3%. And right now we're at 3.9. So we're really, really close to probably an irreducible minimum amount of unemployment.
And there's more jobs now than what people can even fill.
Oh, absolutely. The number of job openings in the country, which is a bit over 6 million, is higher than the number of people who are unemployed. So it's simply a matter of, you know, having the right person find the right job. And, you know, that's part of the friction. But it is happening, and it's really the first time, and again, in this century, that we can say that's the case.
So you will have some that will be critical and say that the tax cuts actually bring in less revenue to the government. And what do you say to that?
Well, there's two things. First of all, you know, the country and the government are two different things. And America was created not to make the government rich, but to have the American people be as rich as possible. So it's a choice between having money go to Washington and money going out to the country, or more precisely, letting people keep the money they themselves earn. You know, I think my preference is clear. I'd rather have it's your money. Right? It's the people's money. It's not the government's money. But more importantly, even if you're sitting there from the point of view of the government, and all you care about is taxes coming in, you need a growing economy in order to produce tax revenue. Now, we also need to control spending, but you do not have the, even if you do control spending, you're not going to have growing revenue unless you get the economy going. And from my point of view, this investment in the tax bill is going to be the gift that keeps on giving. It's going to boost the economy, and as the economy continues to expand, will boost tax revenue as well.
Right. If we can continue to grow at above 2.5-3% growth, I know you've had a term that, or a number that you've used in the past of how much that actually means. Every percent in growth increase is X amount of revenue increase to the government.
Sure. So if, say, we grew an extra point for the next 10 years because of the tax bill, and that's not impossible, then GDP, that's the size of the economy, will be much, much bigger than it otherwise would have been. The number out there is going to be about $3 trillion. Well, Uncle Sam takes about 20% of it. And you can do the math yourself. 20% of $3 trillion is $600 billion. And if you do that year after year after year, you have more than paid for the cost of the tax cut.
That's right.
In fact, you don't even need that much extra growth. If you simply got 0.4% extra growth every year for 10 years, you'd be there. And I think we're gonna do it.
Well, right now we're blowing that away, right? Because the estimate was 1.8%.
Right.
This year we'll definitely be over 3%, possibly even maybe as high as 4%. I mean, it's going to be amazing, isn't it?
It's going to be amazing. And Devin, if I may call you Devin, you know, you and I went through this, our good friends at the Joint Committee on Taxation.
That's the government. That's basically a government bureaucracy that makes estimates, for those of you who don't know what the Joint Economic Committee is.
Yes, and it definitely it doesn't like tax cuts. It's shown that. Well, anyway, back when the tax cut bill was passed, they said that 10 years from now, the economy would be 0.8% bigger than it would have been if we hadn't passed the tax cut. 0.8% bigger. Well, it turns out when the numbers come it's about the end of next month, in the first three quarters of this year, it only took 9 months, not 10 years, we will have exceeded the Joint Committee's number. So they said 10 years to get 0.8% bigger, and we'll have done it in 9 months.
In 9 months, yeah. So, Larry, the tax cut is working. I want to thank you for all of your help on this and helping us to pass the bill, giving us the advice on how to write the bill and the way that the bill would actually work and help grow the economy. And it's amazing to see it work, because out here in the San Joaquin Valley of California, and even with California's outrageous regulations that they place on business, you're seeing a lot of economic growth even here in the San Joaquin Valley. A lot of construction going on, wages rising, people working. It's quite a sight to see, and I'm looking at it here from downtown Visalia, people walking around and shopping and drinking coffee, and about 10 o'clock in the morning, and people look like the economy's working. And Larry, you played a very important part, a very important role in all of this. So this is Devin Nunes. Devin Nunes, go ahead, Larry.
Oh, I was going to say, you're much too kind, but it was you and Chairman Brady who did the heavy lifting, and you're the people who deserve the credit.
Well, thank you. As politicians, we never like to take the credit, or maybe some do, but at least at least I don't. But I will tell you, I'll tell you this. I know one thing: the people that listen to the podcast, they never like to go more than 15 minutes, is what my listeners have told me. So we're going to keep this podcast to 15 minutes, Larry. I really appreciate you taking the time, and we're going to have you back on. This is Devin Nunes from downtown Visalia, California, from Avidian Properties. We'll talk to you next time.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. Days, 'cause we kept our American faith. Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. As we, the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.